Hello, my name is Gino Barbaro, co-founder of Jake and Gino and host of the Jake and Gino Show. Today on the show, we have the founder of Master Talk, Brendan Kumarasamy. And I told Brendan, I practiced his name for like 5 minutes. Kumarasamy, what a great last name, everyone. Starting out petrified to post his first YouTube video, he was determined to overcome his limiting beliefs and provide value to others. He now coaches executives and entrepreneurs to become top communicators in their industry. Without further ado, welcome to the show, Brendan. How are you doing, brother?
Very good, Gino. How are you?
I'm doing good. Why don't you share with the audience how you got into public speaking and communication?
Yeah, absolutely. So for me, the journey started in business school. I studied to be an accountant, funny enough. I thought I was going to be a numbers guy. And I wasn't really interested in being an entrepreneur. But what happened was I started competing in these things called KEES competitions, Gino. Think of it like professional sports for nerds. While other guys my age were playing soccer or baseball or football, I wasn't one of those guys. So I did presentations competitively. And that's why I learned how to speak. But then as I got older, I started coaching all of the students in college on how to communicate, not because I was a coach, but because they didn't really have any other option, and I wasn't that great at it, so I kind of just did it. And I accidentally developed a talent in teaching other people how to speak properly. So then a few years after that, I had the idea for Master Talk, the YouTube channel, which later turned into a coaching business, because I felt no one was really sharing practical, simple tips on how to communicate effectively that I was teaching them that weren't online. So I just started making videos, and the rest was history.
Let's be honest. I want you to be really honest here. When you told your parents, because you're of Indian descent, you're like Italians, the Italians are like, you're doing what? I told you to go to college, get a degree, get a good job. And you're doing what, Gino? You're teaching real estate? What was that conversation like in the family? Because an accountant is a, you know, I guess you would say it's a prestigious path. What was that conversation like?
Absolutely, Gino. And you're absolutely right. It wasn't an easy conversation by any means. But it wasn't as hard as other people paint it to be. Like my mom was very supportive of me leaving my corporate job. But I'll tell you why. It's because I earned that trust over time. So for example, you know, my parents were factory workers. So I didn't grow up with much. So when I was 12 and other kids my age, you know, wanted to be astronauts or stand-up comedians, I actually wanted to be an accountant. I specifically chose that field ever since I was 12. Because I looked at my report card and I was really good at math and I was terrible at everything else. So not only did my parents want me to pursue the traditional path, I was one of those kids who wanted the traditional path. Wow. And I got it, right? So I got the degree my mom wanted, which is the one I wanted too. And I got a great job at IBM. I worked there as a technology consultant for 2 to 3 years. But when it was time for me to quit that job to pursue Master Talk, yes, my mom was scared. Yes, my mom was nervous. But I know why she's nervous, because she values security and she wants me to be happy and to make money for the family. So I just showed her my bank statements over the last 3 months, say, look how much money I'm making in the speech coaching business. If I just put 100% of my attention, I could blow my corporate salary apart if I spend 100% of my time doing this. And she said, okay, Brendan, I trust you. And the rest was fine.
That's one of the recurring themes on the Jake and Gino show. We get guests that are just not employable. They just can't work a W-2 job. And they're just like, I need to do something on my own. And that conversation is very challenging to have sometimes with family members. So everybody out there, the one thing that Brendan said that I truly admire, and I did the same thing. If you're going to commit to something, make sure you have your family understand that you're committing to it 100%. And you're not just going, oh, I want to start a business. Spend money on your education, invest in yourself. And when you take the leap, make sure that they see you doing all the work and do something that if you're going to go on your own, do something that you're passionate about, do something that you really want to create an impact with. And I love Master Talk. I love the YouTube channel. Everyone should go out and check out the YouTube channel because there's a lot of tips. Brendan's Instagram page, same thing. You got little minute little tidbits on there as well. Before I get into like the real meat and the questions here, what things do you see out there that people are making mistakes on when communicating with others? What are some of the glaring things you're saying? Oh, can't believe he just did that.
Absolutely. You know, for me, the biggest mistake by far, and you'd be surprised to hear it, it's probably the same in real estate, which is, or any other skill, which is consistency. Mm-hmm. You know, the reason why a lot of people don't get great at fitness or get great at losing weight, if that's their goal, is because they just don't go to the gym enough. And the problem with communication is we don't know what exercises to work on, like what's the reps in the gym that we need to do, and which we're going to cover today, obviously, and we don't go to the gym at all. And that's really the challenge, because we're not consistent in practicing communication, because at the end of the day, it's a lot vaguer than buying properties in real estate or losing weight. Those outcomes are a lot more tangible. It's easier to measure and see progression with. Whereas communication, it's very vague. We don't even know what being a great speaker even means. And that's where the challenge lies for a lot of us. We don't even know what to practice or what steps to take.
Now, for those of you that want to practice multifamily, he gave me a real nice little in there, Brendan. Thank you. Go to jakeandgino.com/webinar. And what it is, proper practice prevents poor performance. You really got to go out there in consistency. And I think preparation is part of it as well. You're being consistent, but you got to be always out there preparing. Now, I love what you have. You have three exercises to master public speaking. Let's jump into it. What are those three exercises that you share with your tribe?
Yeah, absolutely, Gino. And I'll set the context first, which is communication is like juggling 18 balls at the same time. One of them's storytelling, one of them's body language, one of them's vocal variety, one of them's smiling. But if you try and do all 18 at the same time, it gets really confusing. So for me, the question has always been in speaking, like for fitness or any other skill, what are the three easiest balls to juggle? Because if we can juggle those, then we can build momentum in the skill set. So let's start with number one. Number one is the random word exercise, where you pick a word like sofa, like xylophone, like light bulb, and you create 60-second presentations out of thin air, Gina. And this serves two main purposes. Number one, it helps you deal with uncertainty. Let's face it, life is filled with uncertainty. We don't know what's going to happen, what events are happening, who we're going to meet in that journey, and how we deal with uncertainty matters. Whether it's a deal we're closing at work, whether it's a sales call that we're on, or whether it's a random meetup with a stranger. And the second reason why this is important, so people can write it down, is if you can make sense out of nonsense, you could make sense out of anything. If you can make sense out of nonsense, you can make sense out of anything. If you take a word like avocado toast and you can create a 60-second presentation out of that on the spot, when you go back to your subject matter expertise, Gino, it becomes a lot easier to manage. So the tip is really simple. 5 words a day keeps Brendan away. Pick the light bulb, pick home, pick doorknob, and just do 5 of these a day for a month, and you'll be pretty good at speaking off the cusp. And that's number one.
Love that. What's the second one?
Absolutely. The reason I pause is so I don't monologue for 15 minutes. Number two is the question drill. So the question drill is really simple. We get asked questions all the time, Gino, in our life as entrepreneurs or just as people. Sales calls, whenever we're raising capital from investors and start drilling our pitch deck, on a podcast like this, from our family at work. But unfortunately, Gino, the world is not prepared, or rather, we aren't prepared for the questions that the world has for us. So how do we master this? All you have to do is every single day for 5 minutes, you answer one question that you think the world will ask you about your expertise. I'll give you an example with me. A few years ago, when I started guesting on shows and doing Master Talk, I sucked at answering questions. I remember some guy asked me, hey, Brendan, where does the fear of communication come from? And I looked at the guy, Gino, and I said, I don't know, man, Los Angeles, New York City, Florida, you tell me, dude. Like, I didn't know. So how do I fix this? Every day for 5 minutes, I would ask a question. Day one was, how do you overcome your fear of speaking? Day two is, what tips can you share to make us better? Day three is, what tips do you have for introverts on speaking? But if you answer just one of these questions every single day for a year, you'll have answered 365 questions about your expertise, and you'll be bulletproof. That's number two.
Wow. And number three?
And number three is so simple that nobody does it. And we say it all the time, but it's not about saying, it's about doing it, which is send video messages to the people that you love. Pick 3 people in your life, just 3. They could be friends, they could be close family members, they could be clients, they could be investors. And ask yourself, when was the last time you sent them a 20-second video message to just wish them well, just to show your appreciation for everything they've done for you? And what's great, and there's only one rule to my exercise, you're not allowed to retake the video. That's it. And for me, I take this an extra mile. I have a Google Calendar on the right side of my screen that tells me whose birthday it is in my network. That could be a very close business partner. That could be a key client. That could be a really close friend of mine. And when it tells me on their birthday, I literally take out my phone. I put a stupid birthday hat on that I spent $15 on Amazon. I open the phone and I go, guess whose birthday it is? Oh, wait a second. It's your birthday. I hope you have an amazing day. And that's really what helps you stand out.
I love that. On here, there's a couple of things that we can talk about. With silence, how do you practice silence? Because it's so important. I saw how you paused there and I'm ready to go. I'm a hard charging New Yorker. I don't want to stop talking. And I know silence is so key and so powerful. And you had just said there's 18 things juggling around. You've got a gaze. You've got the smile. You've got the pause. You've got the body language. Well, how does silence fit into all this? And how can you practice silence into your routine?
Excellent, excellent question, Gino. And I'm happy to talk about silences. The other perspective you mentioned is really important here. Hey, Brendan, you mentioned there's like 18 different balls. So what's the main idea here? For you to get the ROI for listening to this podcast, here's the main thing everyone needs to do, Gino. Keep it really simple. Are we booking 15 minutes in our calendar every single day to do balls 1, 2, and 3? You know, the biggest problem I see with, you know, when I talk to listeners of any podcast I'm on, is they go, oh my God, Brendan, Gino, these tips are so cool. I've never heard about the random word exercise before. What's this question drill? Oh, wow. Look, if I asked a question every day, I would crush all my sales calls and my conversion rates would probably double. And the third piece is the video message. Oh, I just got to send a few messages. But the problem is people don't do it. So that's really the key. Book 50 minutes in your calendar. Because if we're not willing to do those three exercises, it's really tough to master the other 15 balls, which of course brings me to the next one.
So before we get into silence, you need to convince the listeners why it's so important. I mean, I'll give you a perfect example. My father in 1997 had been a smoker his whole life. From the age of 8, he's Italian in Italy, he started smoking. He went to a doctor, couldn't quit. The doctor says, if you don't stop smoking in 6 months, you're going to develop emphysema and die. Well, his next appointment with his quote-unquote chiropractor, he quit smoking because he saw the urgency. He saw the need to have to stop smoking right now. Let's make it really urgent on communication, because this is for everybody out there. And I don't think – and I remember going to college going, what a loser getting a communication degree. What's that going to do? Now I'm the opposite. I said, I wish I had gone to college to get a communication degree, because I see the importance of it. You're trying to – you know, persuade people into your thought processes. And the better you can communicate your ideas, the more clear, the more passionate, the more transparent, whatever that looks like, I think it's so important. If you're trying to raise capital, or you're trying to close a deal, or you're trying to tell your wife, I don't want to go to the Italian place tonight, let's go to sushi. How does that look like? The better communicator you are, I think, I don't want to say the quality of life, but the more options you're going to have in your life. So let's tell the listeners why they need to start working on communication, how it's so vital in your life.
And to your point, Gino, you described that so well, actually. There's so many different angles we could take. So let's start with the most important one, which is Warren Buffett's advice. When Warren is asked all the time, hey, what's the most important advice that you have for young people or just people in general? He always goes, invest in your communication skills. And the reason he says that is because that is where all of us can gain the greatest delta of value, not just in income, but in any area of our life. Because to your point, and I would actually argue what you said is correct, I think communication is an accelerant of dreams, but of any dream. Doesn't matter what the dream is. If it's raising capital, if you don't do the question drill, I drill my executives and CEOs on that drill, like 200-300 questions. Because, let's say in real estate, as a quick analogy, the investing community is really small. You don't have 100 million people investing in multifamily in America. It's probably a lot lower. Mm-hmm. So if you mess up that pitch in front of a family office, all of the family offices in that state will know you messed up the pitch. Okay, it's not like a community of 10 million people here, right? Mm-hmm. So that's the first piece. So it's just the problem, Gino, as entrepreneurs, if we don't ask ourselves, as my business is scaling, are my communication skills scaling with the business? And what that means is, let's say you're an entrepreneur in any industry and you're doing six figures, multiple six. At that point in that area of life, you're doing every part of the value chain. From marketing, sales, delivery, to ascending clients in different services or affiliates. That's how we scale. But as you scale the business, what starts to happen? You start to hire staff and delegate what you used to do to other people. You create standard operating procedures and they start doing some of the work for you, even if it's not 100% of how you used to do it, but good enough or better than you. But then what happens is if your communication skills are not sharp at that level, you create a lot of inefficiencies in the business because employees start coming back to you and they go, what did you say, Brendan? I didn't really understood the task here. The SOP isn't that clear. And you're not that great at communicating it back either. And it you just lose. You just bleed a ton of money, in my opinion. So that's why I think it's important.
Silence. That's a scary word for a lot of us. How do we practice and how do we get better at it?
Absolutely. So let's start with the importance really quick, which is pausing allows us to emphasize the key points of a message. If I keep talking and talking and talking at the same pace as the audience listening to this, you don't know what parts of it, the information I'm sharing is what you need to pay close attention to. But if I do this, your intention is, oh, Brendan is hinting me that whatever he's going to say next is probably important. So it's a tool we want to use, whether we're raising capital, whether we're giving a presentation, that helps us pause before we say the most important part. But now, how do you practice it? Here's the way I do it to speed up results, though I don't recommend it for people, and I don't think most people will do it, but I hope you do. It's called the endless gaze. I do this a lot in person with clients, where you take two people, you make them sit in front of each other, Gino, and they have to stare into each other's eyes without saying a word for 3 minutes. 3 minutes. You're allowed to blink, but you're not allowed to talk. And what happens in that 3 minutes, I know a lot of married couples who can't make it to three, unfortunately, is what happens at the end, you get really comfortable pausing for 3 minutes. So when you go back to your presentations, well, you're pausing for 2 seconds, 3 seconds. It's really easy for you to do that intuitively because you've practiced the harder thing.
We were in a couples coaching retreat about 2 weeks ago, me and the wife, and we had to do that. And not going to lie to you, it was an awkward couple of minutes. You're just sitting there going, okay, here we go. And after we did some heavy stuff, and it's like looking at each other going, okay, I want to stop this. Can you please talk to me now? What are you thinking about? But it's true. I like that. I like that tip. I think everyone every day, I mean, people meditate, people pray, sit down and have that mindset of just trying to calm yourself down and trying to lower your energy. I love that. Storytelling. You spoke about storytelling. Are there any tips on storytelling to incorporate into your speeches?
100%, Gino. So in my book, storytelling is probably ball 10 or 11, just because if you have a great story, but you're really bad at delivery, the story's really bad. But I'm happy to share tips regardless. But basically what I'm saying with that caveat is practice the first exercises first. Because if we're not doing that, we can't get better, right? Mm-hmm. So storytelling just means, let's go back to Les Brown's quote, which is, never make a point without telling a story. Never tell a story without making a point. What does Les Brown mean by this quote? What he means, Gino, is that every great story has a lesson. We all have that friend in our life who comes up to us and says, hey, Gino, you can't believe what happened last week. And you're like, yeah, man, what happened last week? And then they start talking. And then it's 25 minutes later and you're thinking to yourself, when is the story going to end? Like, what's the point of this story? And that's the problem when you don't have the lesson. So for me, in Les Brown, the communication, the story always begins with the lesson first. So make a list, 3 to 5 lessons you want people to draw. And I'll give an example from my story. And then from the lesson you choose, then you make a bunch of story ideas and you pick the one that is best aligned to the lesson you want to teach. So my example is, what's my key outcome in today's podcast? Really simple. To convince anyone who's listening that they can be an exceptional communicator. So my goal is, as I keep sharing tips, they go, oh, this is pretty easy to implement. Oh, okay, well, if Brendan could do it, I could probably do it. That's really the key. But now, Gino, if this was a keynote format, it becomes, what is the story I could tell that can best convince our listeners that, hey, you should believe you're an exceptional communicator? And I've split test a bunch of different stories to see which one works. And it turns out at the end of the day, my personal story works the best. You know, I have a physical disability in my left arm. Look, it's crooked, as you can see here, unless you're in the audio, which you wouldn't be able to. So I struggled presenting my whole life. It's still crooked today. So I had a lot of insecurities around speaking. The second one is, I spoke my whole life in a language I didn't know, Gino, because I'm born and raised in Montreal, which is not too far from New York City. But you need to know how to speak French. Didn't know the language. And I have a bachelor's degree in accounting. If I could be a great speaker, anyone can. So that's the key. Start with the lesson, work your way to the top with the story.
I had Eric Edmeads on this podcast a couple of years ago, and he made me create a storyboard. He says, create a storyboard of lessons, of stories, and you don't have to have the entire story mapped out. Make bullet points of the stories. Basically have five or six things, like you just said, maybe disability, accounting. And every time you tell the story, it's pretty fresh. It's maybe a little bit different, but you have those stories to go to. So when you're on a podcast, as you can see, everybody, Brendan's got stories that he's pulling out as he's speaking. He's not that intelligent. And he may be, but I don't think he's that intelligent to be pulling all of these things out of the air and going, oh, he's prepared. And one thing that I like Eric Edmeads talked about, he called it the VAK, the visual, the auditory, and the kinesthetic. When you're presenting, if you can present in all three of those modes. And I like that because the kinesthetic is more of the touchy-feely kind of person. The auditory person is more of the listening kind of person. And the visual is like all over the place. And I like the way he describes that. So my question is pace. You know, how do you get pace into your story? You got silence right now. You've got storytelling. How does pace come into the story? And how do you deal with it with someone like me who likes to speak 100 miles a minute?
Oh, absolutely, Gino. So here's the tip. The tip is the best communicators in any industry can pace at different levels at the same time. So what does that mean? Because if you're too fast all the time and that's how you speak all the time, then people don't understand you. But the opposite is also true that a lot of people in our industry don't talk about, which is if you speak really slowly all the time, especially like with a New Yorker like you, this will drive you insane. You're like, what do you mean? Like, I only got 3 minutes here. Just get to the point.
Yes.
So if you speak really slowly, it's also a problem. So the key here is actually to apply pace with both speeds at the same time. So I'll give you an example. Let's say I say, John loves apples. He loves to eat one every single day. That's fast. John loves apples. He loves to eat one every single day. And then there's the third one, which is John loves apples. He has one every single day to keep the doctor away. Notice how I'm using both paces. I'm going fast, then I'm going slow. I always like to say that the best presentations feel like a roller coaster of emotion. Because if you stay stable on either the vocals or the pacing, it gets really boring really quickly. So you need to be able to vary your pacing and your tones throughout.
I love that. And I should have elaborated a little bit more on what I meant from Eric. He was talking about the visual, auditory, and kinesthetic, and you said you did a great job of it. If you're starting out your presentation all crazy like a New Yorker, you may piss off the kinesthetic learners in the auditory. But if you keep it at that level, it's really going to annoy them. But if you're monotone the whole time, you're going to piss off the visuals, the people who like the face and the people who are touchy-feely, they want it. Now, that doesn't say that you have to have your entire speech one way. And I like how you said you varied it. You vary the tempo, you vary the pace, you vary maybe your body movements, and you try to put it in there. So you try to satisfy all three of the different types. The visual person who likes to see things and likes energy, the auditory person who's a little bit more monotone and is like listening to audible books, and then you have the kinesthetic, who is the touchy-feely kind of person where it's all about their feelings and they're intuitive. So I love how you weaved all those through. Presenting to a group, do you have any tips on presenting to – well, actually, let's say presenting online, because I really, truly dislike presenting online. I do a great job with Jake because it's – like you said, one thing that I really learned when I'm presenting with Jake, it's really good to have – a minute and a half in between each of us, and then cutting back and forth. If anybody watches football on Sunday and we see four or five of those announcers and they're all bantering back and forth, it gets pretty boring to listen to Deion Sanders for 5 minutes. But if you have someone jumping in and speaking a minute and cutting it out, it's so much more enjoyable to listen to that because you're changing, you know, like you said, that pattern, you're changing the whole thought processes. What are your tips on presenting online?
For sure, Gino, absolutely. And the importance here is really key here because 90% of my keynotes today are online. I rarely do in-person stuff now. Mm-hmm. So online's here to stay because people don't want to fly out unless they're willing to pay big, big bucks for any of us. But that's really the key. Online's really key. So how do we master this? There's three main differences between online and in-person. The first one is energy. At the end of the day, when you show up in person, Gino, you have a lot more energy because you're more accountable. You have to get up in the morning. You have to shower. You have to get dressed really well because people are going to see you. There's a responsibility. There's an accountability. Whereas when you're online, you could present in your pajamas. You don't really need, you don't have that same level of accountability. So what's the advice? The advice is get better in person whenever you can get in person, even if it's a small group, and just bring as much of that energy as possible back in person, back online, I mean. So that's number one. The second key difference is eye contact. So with eye contact, whenever you're in person, you want to move your body, Gino, to the different people that you're speaking to so that people feel your energy. Whereas when you're online, whether you're speaking to 1 or 10,000 people, you're only supposed to look in one direction, which is the camera lens. And that gives the illusion that you're looking at everybody directly at the same time, even if you're technically not. That's number two. And number three is accessibility. If I'm giving a workshop in person, Gina, and I wanted your feedback, it's really easy for me to get it because you're in the room. So I can just say, hey, let's get lunch. I'd love to hear your thoughts. And I just start taking notes. So the friction is really low because you're right in front of me. You're in the room. Whereas when you're online, you're giving a keynote and there's, let's say, 3,000 people, 200 people on a Zoom call. The Zoom call just ends. So you don't get to meet everybody. You don't really get to talk to people. You don't get to hug them. You don't get to give them a high five. Mm-hmm. So what you need to do is you need to force those interactions. You actually need to go out of your way to DM people that you want feedback from and get on separate calls with them to get the feedback you need to make your presentations better. And those are the three main differences.
Love that. Let's take a quick time out to hear from our sponsors.
Jake and Gino's Multifamily Mastery 6 is coming to the Gaylord Palms in Orlando, Florida this October 14th and 15th. Join Jake and Gino as they welcome special guests like Chris Voss, Luke Wren, David Green, and many more. Discover Jake and Gino's three-step framework for real estate success, enabling students to accumulate $4 billion in assets. MM6 is the multifamily event of 2023 that you do not want to miss. Go to jakeandgino.com/MM6 to reserve your tickets today.
And we are back. Brendan, we forgot to mention, actually, excuse me, I forgot to mention and ask you about body language. Like us Italians, we love to talk with our hands. We're constantly moving, we're fidgeting. Give us some tips on body language, on using our hands up, hands to the side, possibly. What should we be? And this should possibly, Brendan, be broken down into when you're on stage and when you're in front of the Zoom camera, because there are definitely different things you should be doing in both venues. So let's go when you're on stage doing a keynote. What are some tips for body language?
Yeah, for me, Gino, body language is more like seasoning on the steak. So if you have really good steak and you cook it really well and everything's nice, the seasoning helps for sure, but it's by no means the make or break moment of the dish versus just eating seasoning, which I doubt anyone does. So for me, the focus of body language is two parts. One is understanding what not to do. That's the most important piece.
Good.
Because as long as you don't do these mistakes, it's rare where people will go, oh, this person really sucks at body language. No one really says that. So it's only if you make a big mistake. Like, for example, putting your hands in your pockets. Don't do that, right? That's the kind of the obvious. That's one that mistake that you could make.
But
don't,
Brendan,
freeze up.
I've seen people do that. And sometimes – actually, Eric was doing that at his presentation. And for some reason – he was really good. He's just an amazing speaker. Maybe he's just so top level that he can get away with putting his hand in his pocket. I don't know, but I agree with that 100%. Sometimes we do that because we are uncertain, or we're just a little bit of afraid. Because when you're trying to, you know, it's almost as if you're putting your hand away. You don't want them to see your hand. You're trying to hide something. So that's the reason why you're not doing it. But I was amazed. I saw Eric a couple months ago on a record where he had his hand in his pocket. I'm like, I noticed it, but it didn't affect the speech at all. But that's a really good tip. No hands in pockets.
And let me bridge the gap, because I'm a big fan of Eric. I think the guy is an incredible speaker and thought leader in our space. So here's the gap that I'll bridge. That's why I said body language is the seasoning on the steak. Because this is where a lot of us start to disagree with each other, right? Because like Gary Vaynerchuk is the same thing. Like he puts his hand in his pockets, people pay him 250 quids to be a speaker. Like it doesn't really matter, right? Because so for me, communication at the end of the day, just we're on the same page, is how do we convey an idea in a way that helps other people achieve a specific outcome for a specific audience. At the end of the day, if you raise the capital, you get the result. It doesn't matter if you got a monkey suit on. If you get the result, that's what matters. Mm-hmm. And to make it more candid, like take your wife as an example. If you can convince her to have Mexican food tonight, not Chinese food tonight, doesn't matter how we get to the result. If she ends up agreeing, you achieve the outcome of the communication. So that's the main idea. In general, with body language, I think the reason I don't like hands in your pockets, to your point, is because of the hiding piece. The reason we don't penalize somebody like Eric to do this, and I don't think it's wrong necessarily, is because we have to look at holistically. He's juggling the other 17 balls so well that people don't notice. But if he was juggling half of those balls, which obviously wouldn't be the case in Eric's case, you would notice those things. You'd be like, oh, okay, he's bad at this, and he's bad at that, and you'll start to point out the mistakes. The other piece I want to move on to with body language, to keep it simple, 80% of my coaching with clients, Gina, with body language is pretty much just in the face, literally just in the face. Because the mistake that most of us make, I'll give you the biggest one, is we do not smile when we listen to someone. So for example, let's say me and you're in the same room, and like, for example, the way you're listening now, you're not smiling as you're listening. So let's say somebody is looking at your face, they're thinking, oh, this person doesn't really care about what I'm saying. Even if you're obviously attentive, you're taking notes, right?
Yes.
So that's one. Another one is smiling just a little bit when we're communicating is a big difference between this and this. Right? There's a big difference there. The other one is dilation of the eyes. A lot of people, when they speak, their eyes are really closed, so they don't really see the expression. And the third piece is moving eyebrows just a little bit.
Wow, I love that. I want you to go back, because I think it's really important. You talked those exercises. I don't think I've ever done it on the show, but I want you to go back and repeat that first exercise. I think it was the random word one, because I want to challenge everyone listening to this. If you don't want to do all three, I get it, but at least commit to one. Go over that random word again, because I think it's truly important.
Absolutely. And if you want, I'm happy to demonstrate. I always give that invitation.
Sure.
If you want.
Absolutely. For sure.
Give me any word you want.
Italian?
Absolutely. For my high school graduation trip, Gino, surprisingly, my parents agreed to fly me out to Italy with the rest of my friends to spend 2 weeks there. And I didn't know a single word of Italian. So I looked up different apps, different YouTube videos, and I had to learn how to speak Italian. So much so that I was able to convince a couple of Italians when I was there that I was actually a citizen of the country. I remember I was in Napoli, and then I go to a pizza store, and I look at the guy, and I go, buongiorno, come stai? And he goes, molto bene, Eli. And I was like, yeah, I'm doing great too. And I was like, una margarita, per favore. And then he said, calma du frete. And I just got lost. I was like, what is this guy talking about? And then he said, do you want your pizza hot or cold? So I was able to convince people, Gino, through the way that I was speaking, that I was Italian. And the reason I tell you this story is because I only know 25 words in Italian, but I do it really well. But for all of us in communication and public speaking, our journey is to be better speakers. Anybody listening to this podcast can be an exceptional speaker. Because if I could go and convince a bunch of Italians that I'm Italian too, I'm pretty sure that everybody listening in their first language can show up better on the mic, can show up better with their loved ones, and show up better as a better speaker. And that's the random word extra.
Excellent. Now I got to throw in a joke here. My wife hates this joke, but it's for my father. There are two kinds of people in this world, Italians and people who wish they were Italian. And Brendan just illustrated that so beautifully with speaking in Italy. So I love that. And you can see the power of communication. When you can communicate a thought, you're actually speaking to someone in Italy, not in your language, and you're talking about food, and so much love comes out of it. We haven't talked about transparency or being honest and open through communication. Let's touch on that before we wrap up the show, because I think that's really, really important, because you see a lot of people out there getting on there and trying to be transparent, and they're really fake, and it just doesn't work really well. How do you incorporate that into your communication?
Absolutely, Gino. Here's the main thing. You know, for me, a lot of the issues with transparency is a lot of people are have the wrong outcome with their communication. Like, the core problem isn't that they're not authentic. It's that the goal, the way they think they can achieve the goal, is wrong. Like, the strategy is just wrong. So I'll give an example. We see this a lot in network marketing, right? Where, okay, if the goal is to sign up more people into this network marketing company, then I need to show up in a certain way. I need to be a little bit more fake. I need to show how cool I am. I need to show how glitzy and glamorous I am. And we know from experience, a lot of this doesn't really work. That's why a lot of us are turned off by that industry in general. So the strategy now becomes, how do we instead follow someone within our industry who is transparent, who is authentic, who is really, really successful? Right, so for me, it's people like Vin Zhang, it's Vanessa Van Edwards, it's Eric Edmeans, right? It's people, and all those three people I just named, they show up pretty casually on podcasts. They don't try to pretend like they're these big honchos in the industry, and that's true with any industry. Plug in real estate, plug in baking, it doesn't matter. So for me, what it really comes down to being more transparent is find a role model in your industry that has more success than you do and watch their communication style and learn from it. And what you'll realize a lot in that communication style is they're not trying to fake somebody else. They're not trying to put a really, really nice suit on and try and play a facade. They're just really authentic to who they are. So start to weave in more vulnerable parts of how you're being and who you are into the way you communicate, and people will relate much more to you. And you'll be a lot more confident in general.
I should have asked this question sooner because it's so relevant to what's going on right now in social media. But how do you communicate a thought on an Instagram reel in under 60 seconds? I'm talking about cap rates. I'm talking about subjects that are not sexy, yet they're relevant and they're difficult to explain in a short soundbite. And I'm making excuses because there are people out there that can do it. I'm not as good at that. But how can you really convey that in a short Instagram post or a YouTube story or something really short? How can you shore up your communication at that level?
For sure, Gino. Definitely surprised you saying, because you're a very talented communicator. So it's very, very hard. Yeah, I agree. You know, when you're going into the details of a property, let's say cap rate or number of doors on a property, you can't get through that stuff in 60 seconds. So for me, there's two parts to the answer. One is to look at a similar comparable in the industry and just watch the reels and see if you can answer the same question from a different view. It might not necessarily apply to you, but let's say on Ryan Serhant, right? On the agent side, like, he's really good at speaking really well and concisely. So just looking at the topics he brings out on the agent side might give you ideas on the property side. And this just applies for anybody listening to any industry. Just watch somebody in your field, see how they create. And the second piece, which is funny because I actually was recording some reels yesterday for our Instagram, is what we do is we actually script out the content without saying it word for word. So I'll give you an example. Literally, this is what I do. I write out a 150-word essay. I'll take out my phone and I'll start talking to myself in the basement. And everybody in my home knows I'm doing this, so they know I'm crazy, but they kind of just let me be. And I literally say it as if it's a video. This is what happened last night, blah, 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 blah. And I look at the time and I look at the text and I change the copy and I do it again. I do it again. And usually after 10 tries, the format is really concise and it's clean to go out into social media. So that's the way you optimize. It just takes more time, but it's definitely worth it given the reach we're getting.
We had Ryan Serhant at MM5, Multifamily Mastery 5. He's a keynote speaker at that event. So if anybody wants information for MM6, jakeandgino.com/MM6. We're looking at over 1,000 attendees at that one as well. But what Ryan Serhant did was, he's a very energetic speaker. He speaks very quickly, which is weird, because you would say, oh, you need to slow down the tone. He's pretty good at pacing, but he's an actor. So he went to acting school, so he can really improv really well. So it's not like he was born with this skill. He was an actor turned real estate agent who realized that public speaking and communication is key to building his brand. So for those of you out there, I'm glad Brandon mentioned his name. Go check out his videos, because you'll see a different type of communication. He always starts the video with energy, brings a ton of energy into it and passion. And he looks in the camera, he's confident, and he just lets it rip. And like I said, the pace is there. The pace is great. The content is obviously really high level as well. But I just love his videos. I don't know if you want to put any thoughts to that as well about Ryan Serhant.
Absolutely, Gino. I think Ryan's a great example of someone who's really aligned to both the messaging of his content and his communication style. Mm-hmm. You know, the reason Ryan's able to show up that way is because that's who he naturally is as a person. So I think the only other thought I would share for someone who's more introverted in the industry, realize that you don't need to be like Ryan to achieve the same level of success. You know, I've seen people who are super introverted who have way more success than Ryan does in a bunch of different areas of life, whether it's social or different areas. So the key is really to find someone on the internet who has the same industry as you and who ideally has a similar style as you. Like for me, I study Alex Hormozi a lot in my industry because I like the way that he conveys ideas on Reels, and I want to do the exact same thing without kind of the, you know, his outfit. I'm not a big fan of his outfit, but I don't want to do that. I like looking clean personally, but his, what comes out of his mouth is gold. So I'm going to do the same thing, but in my industry, in communication. So you just got to pick someone you really admire and just do that for your industry.
I almost lost my thought thinking about Alex Hormozi and the bodybuilder. We had Alex on the show as well. And his nice. Wife, Layla, they're amazing, amazing guests. They are super, super high level, and they're unique. And they're transparent, and they're honest to their brand, which is what I love. But as we're discussing this, I know Master Talk is first place that all the listeners need to go to. I've used Toastmasters, believe it or not. I have it in the Jake and Gino community. There's about 10 people in the community every week getting on, practicing their skills. I think improv is also great. Any other places that people can start consuming content or practicing? I think Toastmasters is great, but have you ever gone to improv? Have you ever done any kind of acting classes as well?
Yeah, for sure, Gino. So there's kind of different levels to the game. So let's break this down. So the first level to the game is you're super introverted. You don't even want to go to a Toastmaster. You don't even want to hire a coach. You don't even want to move from your house.
Isn't that painful? Like, I know people are sweating right now. You mean I've got to go and do something for 60 seconds and make it completely? Yes, you do need to do that because it's challenging. It's scary. It's great because it's a safe space. You're there with 12 or 15 other people who are probably, most of them are beginners. They've never done it before. And it's somewhere where you can practice and not be judged. And they don't record it. So whatever you said, it's gone. No one will ever see it again. So that's important.
Absolutely. So level one is don't even worry about coaching. Don't even worry about Toastmasters. Just do the random word exercise alone in your house with nobody watching. That we can all do. We can all commit to. It's literally just you in a room, and you don't even record yourself. You don't even worry how well you sound. I always tell people, Gino, we don't get points for doing the exercise well. Don't compare yourself to my version of Italian. I've done it 3,000 times. That's why I'm qualified to teach it, right? So don't compare yourself to me. Instead, say, I get points for doing it a lot. So if I just do it 100 times, which most people listening to this will not do, by the way. So if you just get to 100, just the sheer number, you will get much better at this 100%. So that's the first part. The second part goes into exactly what you shared, Gino. Go to a Toastmasters group. Find a local community. Find a support group. Well, support group sounds a little sad. So just find like a couple of people around you.
Well, we're in a support group right now, aren't we? This podcast basically is a support group. So you can look at it from that perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. So here's an easy way of thinking about this. I always recommend people who are older, like let's say 30, 35 plus. Do this with your children if you have any. That's really the best thing. So many of my high-level executives, for some reason, they always tell me, you know, Brett, you changed my family. And I get really confused. Like, what are you talking about? Like, how did I change your family? And they go, it's because I start doing the random word exercise with my 7-year-old daughter, with my 15-year-old kid. Mm-hmm. And they're always just watching TV all the time. So now I get to actually play this game with it and bond with them in a way that I couldn't before because I have an excuse to build a relationship with them. I thought that was really powerful. This doesn't need to be daunting. This doesn't need to be a chore. It can be fun. And then the third level is really if you're high level. That's really if you want to save time, then I would highly recommend a coach rather than like Toastmasters.
And I think the coaching aspect is very important because you may be the person that says, I don't want to do these random word exercises. But when you're paying a coach like Brandon and money's on the line and it's like, I'm not going to let Brandon down, guess what? You're going to do it because you've got skin in the game. Just like investing in real estate. When you put money into that deal, shit becomes real. And that's what ends up happening. Like, uh-oh, I got to commit now. So it's either commit or, as they like to say, get off the pot. So that's really, really important. Brandon, before we end the show, two things. Favorite book you've read? And where can listeners get a hold of you?
For sure, Gino. This is so great, by the way. Thanks for having me on the show. So two ways to keep in touch. Let's start with that, and then I'll go into the book. The first one is the YouTube channel. Just check out Master Talk in one word. You'll have access to hundreds of free videos on how to speak. And the second way to keep in touch is we do a free communication workshop over Zoom every 2 weeks. It's 90 minutes. I facilitate it myself. It's free, it's live, and it's super fun. So if you want to jump on that and learn the tips that are getting applied on the call versus just listening to a podcast, go to rockstarcommunicator.com and just sign up for our next free workshop. So that's the way to keep in touch. In terms of the book, what I would recommend, Gino, is a book called Thirst by Scott Harrison. Scott Harrison's the CEO and founder of Charity Water. It's a nonprofit he started to help the world gain access to clean water. But the reason I'm a big fan of Scott Harrison is because I think he's one of the best storytellers in the world. He used to be a nightclub promoter in New York City, and he used a lot of that marketing chops, that storytelling ability, not just to raise hundreds of millions of dollars of capital to solve this problem, but also the way that he tells the story of Charity Water is grounded in a lot of practicality. So a lot of us, what we talked about today is these are the tips, this is how we follow them, and this is a guy who's applied all the tips and the results that he got. So I highly recommend the book. I think it's an excellent read.
Love that. Now, at this point of the show, Jake wants me to recap the show, recap Brendan, and I wish Jake was here because he usually likes my recaps, but I'll let it rip anyway. You got a young Brendan, 12 years old, decides to become an accountant. I've never heard that before. Usually firefighter, policeman, I don't know, SWAT, cop, whatever it looks like. But Brendan decided to be an accountant, and parents were factory workers, goes to college, and he starts understanding that he's not going to be the next LeBron James, which most of us aren't. And he says, you know what? I'm going to go out and figure out what I like to do. Works 3 years at IBM, does a great job, but he understands to himself that I am not employable. I just do not want to do this the rest of my life. Here's my bank statement. Mom, this is what I'm doing. I'm crushing it. If I applied myself 100% to what I'm doing, I think I'll do a great job. And he committed to that. And his mom said, you know what? I like the accounting thing. I like you being a professional, but if that's your dream, I think you got to follow your dream. And what we've discussed in the podcast today really is the three. He's broken it down to the framework. We talk about buy right, manage right, finance right. Brendan talks about his three-step framework, but there's 15 other steps. There's a total of 18 balls that we're juggling in the air. And if you want to say, as Brendan said, if you want communication to be an accelerant of your dream, just go to Master Talk. You have to start connecting with that. And it's really, really important to become an amazing communicator, because if you want to have impact in this world and you want to move your ideas and get your ideas in the space, whether you want to become an entrepreneur, whether you want to do something like Thirst, whether you want to tell your parents that you're leaving your W-2 job and following your dream. If you're a great communicator, it's going to be a lot easier to convey those messages. So once again, Brendan, appreciate you for being on the show. And Jake, I missed you, brother, today.
Thanks, man.
Thanks, Brendan. Appreciate it.